Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Chain Attack.
Chain Attack is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated specializes in customer service, low prices, and prompt shipping. You can find our web store at www.discountgamesinc.com.
Welcome to Chain Attack. I am your host, Trevor, and I have played my 5 hours of Deity Empires.
Listen, my name is Jay. And I was a tour guide for some dear friends at Disneyland, and I did not get my hours in with Deity Empires. So, I'm sorry.
My name's Josh, and I'm not here to Deity Empire shame, but I do have the sufficient playtime to speak to the game, which made some very interesting choices in its design. Some good, some bad, for the record.
We're going to have an episode on this, but I guess I am curious.
No, spoilers. We're saving it.
No.
Let your curiosity
simmer. This will be just a quick preview. Have you been, were you happy that we went with this game?
Yes. Yeah. I have no qualms that we went with it. I mean, the whole exercise is fun for me, no matter what.
It's delightful for you.
Yeah. But I won't lie. I am actually more excited to move on to the one that Trevor wanted to do, Songs of Conquest. You didn't start that one yet, did you, Trevor?
No. I actually was considering playing. So I've played. I was going to pull it up and look at it. I've played eight hours of Deity Empires. I was going to play a little bit more. I'm not sure if some of my thought points on the game are actually accurate yet. So I'm going to pursue it just a little bit more. But yeah.
Well, there's a lot to the game. So
I
think that's reasonable to.
Yeah, when we get to reviewing it. Whatever we say isn't going to be 100% accurate because I think you would.
It's a fairly deep game.
Yeah, I think you would need 100 hours.
But also, the best part is I don't think anybody can fact check us. Not that anybody ever has,
right? Probably
also
true, yes.
Okay, so we're going to talk about an upcoming game. And you know, this isn't really one that we're going to be selling through DGI per se, but it is. I would say that. So my Asmodee sales rep explicitly said this, that this game is, you know, Asmodee's big push for the year, and I guess I'm curious. I mean, I already know what your guys' answer is going to be, but I guess I want to hear you. You crap on the game anyway.
Okay.
So the big game that Asmodee is pushing really hard this year. I mean, I guess do either of you have a guess first off?
Oh, that Asmodee is pushing.
I don't know upcoming games well enough, and I don't know Asmodee's portfolio well enough to.
Well, they basically own everything. At
yeah,
this
basically,
point,
if there's a game coming out, it's by Asmodee.
It's Wavelength Legacy. That's my guess.
No.
It's the most ridiculous. You're telling guess me they ever. Own everything, so I'm saying it's Wyrmspan, but I'm assuming they don't own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do not own them.
You tricked us there, Trevor. You win.
Yeah,
you
sorry.
Is for hyperbole.
Is it something for Everdell?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm out of guesses.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not tied into the community.
You're not. You're not thinking nearly dumb enough. /
Oh, jeez. Oh no.
Something that literally no one asked for.
Oh no. Is it something with Catan or something at this point?
Okay. It is a new Star Wars collectible card game.
What?
A collectible card game?
Yes.
Okay, wait a minute, because I have played a card game with my brother recently that was Star Wars, and it was pretty fun, but I don't think it was collectible.
It was a deck-building game, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
It recently came out with a Star Wars deck-building game. But deck, like, why make...
Okay, so this is this thing, and now I'm on the internet, so this is the thing called Star Wars Unlimited?
Star Wars Unlimited, the first set is Spark of Rebellion.
Oh, man. Jay, this says I can enter a galaxy of endless possibilities. I don't know if you knew that.
I was somewhat cognizant, yes.
That's the tagline, I'm assuming.
Apparently, yes. Well, no, it's like the descriptor.
I see. It's the elevator pit.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, like, I'm not saying, I guess, that a Star Wars game can't be good.
No, the issue is that they're going to abandon it after the first set. Or right, second
like
set.
There's literally no person in the world that has
who trusts them to maintain it
in Fantasy Flight to do a Star Wars
or any collectible card game.
Collectible card game.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if Netrunner still existed, then you might trust them.
Yes, that is factually accurate. If they told me that they were bringing back Netrunner, I would be 10 times more excited about it than this announcement. And they would bring Netrunner back for the same distance or same time. It would probably be two sets or three sets, and then they would cancel it.
Yes.
But I would still be more excited.
Which, there's, you know, it's tough to launch a CCG and have it stick, et cetera. But they've also kind of proven that, you know, they can't do it.
Yeah. Well, that they don't have the will to do it. I mean, they just, I think you guys are saying it exactly right. They just don't commit to stick with it.
Yeah, they don't. The first sign of rocky terrain or troubled waters, they're instantly out.
Yeah.
And that is not the sign of a CCG company, right? You've got to work it to actually make it worthwhile for the players. Speaking of which, I haven't heard anything from Disney, from Lorcana, in ages. Are they just constantly behind on production to the point where...
No, the second set came out, you know, if I weren't...
That was months ago, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, December. It was like in December, yeah.
Oh, so last month.
Yeah. And the new one...
I was just going to say, like, if I were not, you know, a fool who had won an elected office and... was so far away from you, I would tell you to bring your kids and we'd do another freaking 8-person draft with the new set, because I think that would be baller.
Yeah, we'd be in a second. I'd be glad to do that.
That will be a, you know, post-primary celebration plan, I think.
Do we need to have a discussion about your long-term political goals?
Probably not on this side of the paywall.
Well, I mean, I can... You listen, I talk. You're interrupting my game time, Josh.
What do you mean? I'm losing to you over on Carnegie right now, just like a good friend would do.
But it's not in person.
I know. It's so not the same.
Thank you for coming to my TED.
Oh, amazing.
Anyway, like, again, this isn't my native genre either. And, you know, it's tough for me to get excited about card games in the first place. But
well, I do feel like we are so far outside the target demographic anymore. Like, you know, one of my best friends from high school, you know, came over for Christmas or around that area and, you know, brought me a Christmas present. And it was like a deck of Lord of the Rings, or it was like a starter set of Lord of the Rings, you know, Commander Magic or whatever. And we played and it was fun, you know, but I'm just like, I'm just so out of this loop. You know, that's the one big challenge I feel like with collectible card games, especially, like, there is a loop, and if you are not in it, you just can't stay with it, you know. But again, to Trevor's earlier point, at least Asmodee won't give us a loop. They'll just release one set and then take a dump on it.
So anyways, I guess kind of curious to hear from people that are excited about this, because again, that's not really me, but I do like hearing what people are excited about. So
does Tony do physical cards as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe it's time to have him back. We'll just get in a future episode. We'll get his interest level and discuss the current physical card landscape.
Sure.
Because we're none of us are the right people to talk about this, right?
That is true. It's true. Yeah, that's factually accurate.
Yeah, I would be more interested in the game if it were a digital version. I mean, that's just the honest truth. I don't want to keep track of. I don't want to sleeve. I don't want to. There's so much about physical card games that I'm over with, right? That's similar to physical books. I'll read it on my phone. I don't need a physical. Paper doesn't mean anything to me, and it applies to card games as well.
Okay, well, let's move into our main topic.
Yeah, geez, we almost turned that into a main topic, didn't we?
Well, not quite, but
when you get us ranting,
it's true. So this is going to be an exhaustive review because we did an early morning Saturday play session of Spirit Island weeks ago. And so after one gameplay, we are ready to provide
our professional opinions,
the definitive review.
Of course, the best part is I have probably like a few other plays of it, but they were from years ago. And, you know, and I've actually played it on the computer once or twice, like just solo.
On the computer, I didn't even know there was.
Yeah, it's out. You can. There's a pretty decent implementation of it on Steam or whatever.
But not iPhone or Android.
No, I don't think so.
When I go to my computer, board games isn't necessarily what I'm looking to do. Although I've got plenty of hours of Gloomhaven that say I'm lying.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that actually probably describes my relationship with board games on my computer almost exactly too. So.
Yeah.
So, Josh, why don't you start off by, I guess, giving us a rundown of the game?
The overview? Yeah. So Spirit Island is a co-op Euro game. It's funny. I would call it in some ways the anti-Catan, because you play the role of, you know, these spirits of nature on a, you know, kind of a primeval island that is being overrun with colonizers, conquistadors, essentially. And so your objective is to destroy or scare off all of this colonizing society. So every player plays a different spirit, and the different spirits have different powers and abilities. There are abilities that are fast and there are abilities that are slow. And so the play of that's kind of the intent of the game. The play of the game is that, you know, again, you're cooperative, mostly simultaneous. You're basically choosing ways in which your spirit will kind of grow or progress each turn. And then you're playing powers, and then, you know, fast powers obviously will happen first and slow powers will happen after that. And then the colonizers have a phase where they annoyingly spread or build or grow, and as they grow, it, you know, damages the land, pollutes the island, and essentially you can, so much like a sort of a pandemic style game, you know, there's three ways you can lose. You know, basically if one of the spirits gets completely eliminated, you lose. If enough I keep calling it pollution, but I think it's actually called, it might actually be called corruption anyway, but if enough of that, you know, gets loose on the island, you lose. And I forget the other lot. Well, I think the other loss condition is essentially time. Like you do have a limited number of rounds to make this happen. Yeah. So it kind of has a deck builder feel to it a little bit, because part of the progression is that you get new powers for your spirit. And then it really has a solid, I feel like, cooperative kind of feel to it. Because you... Did we decide you could alpha game this thing still? You probably still could, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not mechanics like simultaneous turns or whatever that's preventing a table captain.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a nicer way to say captain.
I think you're downplaying the deck building part of it a little, maybe too much, though. I do think it's kind of a core mechanic.
Yeah, that's fair. You're right. I guess I didn't mean to downplay it other than... Because actually, there's other games that are this way now. It feels like there's a kind of a species of deck builders that is like, you maybe are only going to add half a dozen cards in the course of the game, but it still is like pretty meaningful,
very
right?
important aspect of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, and that's one of the things that I struggled with as we played this is making the proper choices, right? Like it feels like with experience, making your proper choices on card selection is going to become a little bit easier, a little bit better. And you know, in this game, like you mentioned, if you don't have enough cards to make really wrong mistakes in your card selection. So especially when you get to the, what are they? I can't remember what they're called, advanced cards or the more powerful cards.
Yeah.
It's not good if you make a bad selection there. Like if you misread the card, stick it in your deck and you're like, and
right.
You
and then all of a sudden you don't have like the element synergy and all that kind of stuff. Right.
Oh, this is not exactly, this is not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I'll mention before we maybe dig into the gameplay a little more is there are several expansions to it already. And I've heard, I don't think I don't have any of them, but I've heard that like the Jagged Earth expansion, which adds 10 additional spirits, is just like a great addition, basically. So
I will say that the different spirits probably provide the largest amount of replay value. Like if we were to sit down again and play again and somehow I ended up with the exact same spirit, I would probably mentally check out pretty quick.
Really?
Yes.
Even if everybody else's spirits were different, do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't care what spirit you guys are playing with, right? it's more what the spirit that I'm playing.
Oh, it's Blight, by the way. Blight is what it's called, not Corruption. Sorry. So that's kind of the overview. So, I mean, what did you guys, what is your one game comprehensive reaction to it?
So, I guess one aspect I'd like to talk about first, and I think that the game is very good and the mechanics are good and it has a lot of things that I like, but I feel like kind of the genius of the game really can be traced to a big success related to the theming that they selected for the game. And so, like, I feel pretty strongly that a big part of why this game is so beloved, why it is ranked as highly as it is on BoardGameGeek, is because it has such a excellent theme. And then there's a lot of fun things that flow out of the theming. But, you know, I guess there's also, like, kind of a counterculture aspect to it, where a lot of the Euro games are kind of like you mentioned, Josh, have a Catan feel where you're building, you're exploiting, you're expanding, etc. And this is kind of goes exactly opposite of it. I think it's a very clever theme that's well implemented and a big part of why the game is fun. I don't know. Do you think that that's accurate or am I off base on that?
No, I think you're right that that's where a lot of its sort of like success, you know, whether you call it critical success or, you know, consumer success, I think it does stem from the theming very much so. And like, you know, we didn't even talk about like, so even some of the names of the spirits are like so cool, right? Like,
right.
There's a spirit called Bringer of Dreams and Nightmares. You know, there's a Thunder Speaker, which is, I think, the spirit that Trevor played, if I remember right.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, all of that is really quite well done. I think you're pretty spot on with that assessment, Jay.
What I guess I'm curious, Josh, you, like you said, you had played this game years ago and did not especially like it that much.
Yeah, I mean,
would you say that you enjoyed this most recent play more, or did you still feel kind of the same? What was kind of going
on
with that?
No, I definitely enjoyed it more. I mean, part of the problem is like the times that I had played it, I thought, I do this to myself quite a bit. I'm like, well, I want to learn this game. And I'm like, hey, you know, he was probably a 9-year-old at the time. I'm like, hey, son, like, come sit down and play this with dad, right? Which is, it's only like a half a step removed from just playing two characters myself or whatever,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
And so that, and we've had this conversation even when we talked about like Return to Dark Tower, right? Him as a co-op compatriot is, you know, adds a veneer of unpredictability that is like alters the atmosphere quite a bit. Let's just put it that way, right? So, so I think that all of that kind of contributed. And then like I said, the other times I played it has been on the computer and it's been solo, and like, it's just not as fun solo, right? Like it was definitely more fun, but it was the company. It was the like, sure, being able to like bounce some ideas off each other, like see some strategies, right? You know, like,
I mean, and I think in general, that's kind of the case with a lot of cooperative games. You know, we had mentioned that that it's still a game that can be susceptible to a table captain.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, obviously, it's true that you're going to enjoy a game more if you have the right play group. But in a lot of ways, I feel like cooperative games might be even more susceptible to that truism than
that you genres. Need the right play group, you mean?
Yeah,
100%.
I think so. I thought the game was fine. It was enjoyable.
Fine.
it didn't skyrocket to the top of my want to play again list, and you know, that's because it's not necessarily my style. The theme is good. I like it. It's different than a lot of games. It's unique, but it doesn't exactly excite me in any way. And I think maybe, and I don't know why that is, because it should.
Let's face it, Trevor, if it was like 40K and you were the Imperium of Man pushing back, you know, or maybe the other way around, maybe your creatures from the warp and you're trying to push back the Imperium of Man, then you would think that was pretty baller.
Yes, that's probably true. But I still don't know that this particular play style is really what I'm looking for. I think when we finished, Jay said something, and I don't remember exactly which game he used as the example, but
I remember.
He basically said, you know, this is cool and all, but if I'm going to play a co-op game, I'd rather play that game. And I was like, yeah, I agree.
Well, I think it was Return to Dark Tower, wasn't it?
Dark Tower, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I 100% agree with that. The theme is more interesting to me. The gameplay is more interesting. I think one of the things that would probably help, and what I would really take this to the next level for me, and maybe it's available in an expansion, is secret objectives that provide a sole winner. Make it co-op. I love co-op competitive. I love...
You sick man.
Yeah, I love the idea of, yeah, we're working together to make sure that we don't lose this island, right?
We're not.
Well, one of us might do it better than everyone else. Or, yeah, whatever it is, that solves the table captain.
The table captain element.
Yeah.
Trevor basically wants to be my 11-year-old son. He just wants to be like, I'm gonna do what I want to do, and you can pound sand.
I just like a little bit of mystery, right? And it feels like that mystery is waiting on the deck rather than another player at the table. And I'm not real keen about that sometimes. So, and maybe one of the reasons why I like Return to Dark Tower is the app provides that mystery. But truly, it's just a digital deck. But it just does it better for me. But all that said, if someone said, we're playing Spirit Island, would you like to join us? I wouldn't turn them down. I would go play. It's not like I hated the game. It's just I'm not rushing out. I didn't ask Jay to order it for me. I'm not going to buy a copy.
Yeah, I mean it's really the opportunity cost of playing this game versus something else. I would probably just rather play Return to Dark Tower, which doesn't mean that that game is bad. I mean, Return to Dark Tower is really good and I enjoyed it a lot. So, you know, that's not an indictment of the game.
I would like to try it at some point with some of the expansions that Josh mentioned. Sometimes an expansion can make a significant difference in a game. Mm,
that is true. Yeah, that is true.
Sometimes they make them worse. Sometimes they add things that don't really add to the gameplay. You know, Wings of War is a good example. You know, the more rules you added, the less fun it was. It was like, just keep it simple. But, you know, we won't play Zaya without its expansion at this point, and nor should anyone else.
Well, do we want to grade this bad boy then? Where did I put my grading sheet?
Sure.
Okay, so first category is design, which, again, this thing gets most of its points from the theming, right? Uh-huh. Which is definitely part of design. No, I do it's think
got, it's got great art and
there's miniatures. Art is cool. You know what? The miniatures bug me. I'm just going to come right out and say it. They're the game is going to lose points for me because of the minis, but like, that's just me.
Wait, like, so clarify, are you saying you don't think the minis are detailed or good enough, or you're saying that minis don't add anything for you and you'd just be fine with chits?
I think it's not detailed or good enough. I just don't like the sculpts of the colonizer specifically, right? Like, the towns and cities are fine, I guess, but like, so I guess I just am literally like holding one sculpt against the game.
I you're right. The little dudes, the little invaders, they are pretty.
They feel chintzy.
It doesn't bother me. I'm fine with it. But anyway, I understand where you're coming from.
My overall design, I'm gonna take it down from an 8. I'm gonna give it a 7. I'm violating the 7 rule right here.
I'm not gonna violate the 7 rule. I actually think that this is one of its strongest categories. I think the game design, the art, the theming, it's all well done. I think this is one of the better board games out there.
I'm honestly kind of shocked with Josh giving a 7. I'm gonna go with a 9.
Jeez. And sorry, I Trevor, think this where is a are
very
you?
Well designed. He said
I said 8, but oh, I'm willing you to said go 8. To 9. Okay. I actually think that Jay's probably right. The stuff that they've put into this game, the quality of what we're getting in comparison to a lot of the other games out there is really well done.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about time management, and maybe that's one of the other things that slightly pulls the game down for me. It runs a little longer than I wish it would.
I would agree. I think that the process.
I mean, is it what was our playtime / what do you think the average playtime is?
I think we were probably right around 2 to 2.5 hours.
We were definitely in the 2.5 range.
And I think some of that, keep in mind that there was
some of that's learning, but I don't. I honestly don't know if you could get to 90 minutes, and that's what I feel like this game should the playtime on this should be, right?
According to Board Game Geek, the average playtime is 90 to 120. I don't know what's on the box, but usually that's what's on the box.
Yeah.
And I think that 90 is being a little
generous.
Yeah, a little generous.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is like part of the problem with me grading this right at this moment is I've recently had a chance to play what should be this year's hottest co-op game, which is Daybreak. And like you can play that thing in an hour. You know, maybe 90 minutes if you're pushing your luck, and it's just like such a sweet spot for that experience. And I mean, it really is like it's very Spirit Island-esque, right? It's co-op. You're all a little different, though, not quite as different as the spirits. You know, you are essentially building a deck, but like in front of everybody. You know, anyway. So I'm going to give Spirit Island a 5, which I'm not trying to like tank it on the time management element, but it's longer than it should be.
The reason I'm going to give it a little bit of a discount, it's not the length of time, it's that there comes a point where rinse repeat, right? You're kind of to close out the game, you're kind of rinse repeating, and it feels a little tedious. Like at this point, we could just declare that we've won, but technically we haven't. Although I don't think all games are going to be like that. I think we just happen to get to that point in our game. I think some games are going to be a lot closer, and I would probably feel less tedium if that were the case.
I did think it was interesting that there was and granted, it was our first game. I don't know what to expect or how the game would play out, et cetera. But there was a large portion at the start of the game where I thought we were going to lose.
Yeah.
And so
there was a point where we turned the corner.
Yes.
But at that point, I feel like the game could have been like, you know, game complete. You've won. It would require completely different mechanics, right? But that's what all I'm saying is there was a point where we were in command of the game near the end where it's just a matter of rinse repeating those processes. And that probably made it go another 15 minutes.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't... It is kind of amusing to me that the 2.5 hour point is too much for Trevor.
No.
Just for this type of game, right?
It is for this type of game.
That's freaking smart, Alec. Okay, let's go to repeatability then, which, you know, honestly, I will give this a higher score because there's such a variety of spirits, right?
Yes. So
I'm willing to give this an 8 because the truth is, it's funny because I think I'm a little like Trevor. It's like I would not decline an invitation to play this game. I just don't know how often I would like think about it and go get it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I think as well. The length of the game is not egregious enough that I would stay away from it. It could be a little shorter, is all.
So sorry, what's your number?
My number? Mm-hmm. It feels kind of average. 5.
Okay. And Jay, on repeatability?
I mean, it's in the 8 or 9 range, in my opinion.
All right. Fun. I actually will give it high points for fun. I'll go with the 8. Jay's been trying to pull me up to that level anyway.
Yes, right? Come on up. Join.
are you at a 9 still on this too, Jay?
Did you say fun?
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably go with 8.
I'm pulling down on Jay now.
I'm only going to give it a 7. I enjoyed it, but...
That was partly the company, not just the game.
Yes.
So overall, I think I'm just going to give it a 6. I would consider, I'm going to give it a 6. I was like doing the sum of my numbers here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, 6 is where I'm at as well. Maybe a 7, actually, now that I think about it.
I'm at like an 8 or 9.
Man, that's stunning to me. All right.
Why is that stunning?
I don't know, because there's other stuff you'd rather do.
I mean, it's still really good. So, I don't know.
That's fair. You can be a neutral grader like that. I'm impressed at your ability. Okay, so real quick, who do you say is the audience for this bad boy?
People who like fun.
I don't think that's true. That's the problem. I think you have to have a little bit of a, you know, you like a little bit more harder core game. Like, I don't feel like you could play... this was somebody who liked Pandemic. Is that, am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. I think this is a step above that as far as complexity. But if you enjoy co-op games and you enjoy being on that, like that razor's edge of winning, losing, this similar to Pandemic, this feels similar to all of that. So if those are your, you know, your bread and butter, then you've probably already played this if those are your bread and butter. But if not,
that's true, right?
If not, you should find this game and play it.
The audience for this game is, you know, you're the audience for this game.
The truth is the type of people who aren't interested in this game are like mine and Josh's son. I think that they would rather have the spirits fight. They want to throw army dudes on the table and roll dice and try to kill each other. And if you, you know, have that sort of enjoyment of board games, this isn't for you. So.
All right. Well, go or no go. I mean, it is still a go for me. Like,
yeah,
everybody should try it at least a couple times.
Yeah. And my go would be much higher if we were trying one of the expansions, multiple of the expansions. I'm interested to see where they take it or where they've taken it, I should say.
So. Yeah. 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 We're kind of behind the 8 ball on that, aren't we?
Yeah, this is a fairly old game at this point, right? It's been out for...
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know when it released. A long time ago.
I think 17, 18? 17. Ooh, I'm pretty impressed. I almost remembered that. Yeah, 2017. So that's ancient board game time.
It is. It's true.
It's like dog years, right?
Yes. We're sending it off to its home.
To its board game retirement home.
Yes.
So we've got a few minutes here at the end still. Have you guys been playing or reading or watching anything especially interesting?
Oh, man, I forgot that I didn't tell you guys this, and probably not in the pre-ramble. This is like my youngest daughter is actually staying here in Boise with me for this semester of school. She's training at a local gymnastics gym here in Boise and doing her classes online with her school back home. And anyway, but we have now fallen into this habit. I get home from the Capitol, she gets home from gym practice, and we're watching Suits now.
So.
What is Suits?
It's basically a soap opera. I'm sorry. That's what it is.
So
it's a soap opera with lawyers.
If you had subscribed to The Town with Matthew Bellamy, you would know all about this, Trevor. But
okay.
Suits was a USA lawyer drama. And
Meghan Markle's in it.
Yes, she is. Netflix licensed it. And during the summer, like, basically everyone's landing's page was like, watch Suits all the time.
Yeah, it freaking blew up because of that, right?
That's interesting. I wonder how I missed it.
Yeah, I don't know. But it became very, very big on Netflix. And part of what was interesting with the whole situation is that when they set up the arrangement for it with Netflix, it was a flat fee. It wasn't, based on how well it was going to perform or et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. And so it blew up, and the USA guys / the guys who made Suits are kind of like, oh, I wish that I was getting paid a lot more for all the success that this show is having right now. but for the bright side on the creator, it was basically, and it had quite a lot of seasons on USA, but the show had ended, and now because it was so popular on Netflix, it's going to have a sister series, essentially.
Not like a new season, but that's interesting.
Yeah, not a new season, but a new show within the Suits universe, essentially. So
that's funny. So the shtick, Trevor, is that one character is like this really successful, high-powered lawyer, pretty cocky, whatever. And then the other main character is this guy with a really incredible memory, right, Jay? Like,
I haven't watched it.
Oh, you don't watch it? Okay. And no. And he basically, people were paying him to take their LSATs for them. And so then he like gets a wild hair and like takes it for himself, like, and like fake gets into law school, basically. And so he's able to like act like he's a lawyer, but he actually doesn't have any freaking history with like the law school that he claims to be from. Anyway, and the high powered lawyer like kind of finds out about him and takes him under his wing, and he's basically like faking that he's a lawyer, and anyway, hijinks ensue, basically. And it's funny because like every episode is kind of like a what would you call X-Files? Creature of the week?
Right? Procedural, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's what I was looking for, Jay. It's a procedural, right? There's always a case. There's always shenanigans. They overcome, et cetera, right?
Sure. Kind of like House MD. There's there's a disease. Could it be lupus? No, it's not lupus. et cetera, et cetera.
Amazing. Yes. So that is my 17-year-old and I's current evening activity.
Your bonding activity.
We're watching Suits while I take my turns on Board Game Arena and wonder why I play games against Trevor constantly. I'm not getting any better at Carnegie at this point. It's just, I may have peaked.
I don't know what to tell you about that. Sorry.
Well, Brian and I started a 5-part Hulu documentary. The title of it is Daughters of the Cult.
Oh, I think you either told us about this or I saw this, and it looks freaking grim.
I didn't know anything about it before last night, so I didn't say anything. But so it is about a offshoot of the Mormon Church where the guy is running a cult that is just like killing people left and right. And it's pretty wild that, you know, just the stuff that's going on with it. Like they kill, I can't remember the guy's first name, but Allred was another polygamist leader. And just like in his doctor's office, went in and shot down this person. And it's a crazy story. So we're about halfway through that. It's been fun. So well, not fun. There's
bonkers. So it's been like train wreck fun, right? Like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
So I have to know, Josh, do you still play Marvel Snap at all?
No, not a ton. I have fallen off that wagon a little bit. I haven't really made a new successful deck since Werewolf by Day. What's his
Werewolf by Night? Yeah.
Yeah. Werewolf by Night.
I saw Team Age, you know, this weekend, and I asked him if he was doing Marvel Snap, and he said that he, you know, basically had fallen off, and I was kind of shocked because he was in so deep in it. He's like, yeah, man, it's, you know, I gave them so much money, and for them to have fumbled the ball this hard is kind of sad. But
oh, that's interesting. How did he feel like it had fumbled the ball?
He felt like they were, sorry, this is me trying to recall, but I think the two of the main things that he said was that he felt like they weren't doing enough changes in the game, and that they were focusing too much on driving cells through
gimmicky card art.
Yeah, the way the cards look,
as opposed to like the meta being affected, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think they've righted some of that ship maybe since he last played. I don't know, but I can see where he's coming from. Sure.
Yeah. Are you playing a lot, Trevor?
Oh yeah. I complete my daily quests every day. I still suck. I've never hit infinite in however long we've been playing. Yeah.
Okay.
For the record, I am also, I hate when shows have to release 1 week at a time, but whatever. I am watching as they come out Delicious in Dungeon, the anime, because I loved the manga so much. It's the anime is good, I think. Although I'm a terrible judge of anime. Like, I've watched all of five in my life, I think, you know, but like it cracks me up. Like, so do you know the premise? Have I told you guys about the manga even before?
I don't think so.
So the premise is there's this world that like there's this kind of dungeon that appeared and you know, now there's this whole kind of like industry and community of adventurers who try to go down in the dungeon and liberate this supposedly magical kingdom that's trapped by the dungeon, right? And at the start of the story, these five adventurers are in the dungeon. They've gotten down pretty deep and they're fighting this dragon, and they're just like, they're all out of energy because they're hungry, and one of them gets eaten and the others manage to teleport out back to home base, but because the one got swallowed by the dragon, she doesn't teleport out with them. And so they're like, man, we got to get back in and see if we can save her before the dragon digests her or whatever. And so then the one adventurer, the kind of the leader, he's like, you know, they have no money, they can't get any more spices. He's like, the only way we're gonna get down there in time is if we like eat the monsters in the dungeon as we go down. Like, and the truth is, like, he's like always wanted to cook monsters. And so then it's like they're going through the dungeon, and like every episode they're like cooking a different dish. And I don't know if it feels like anime does this a lot, but they go hard with the food, man. They show this like incredibly delicious looking meal, you know, at about midway through every episode where they've cooked, you know, like the walking mushroom and the dried slime goo or whatever. Anyway, it just cracks me up, dude. So that is Delicious in Dungeon. And the episodes are pretty short, you know, under a half hour easy.
All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap things up there. Let us know what you guys think of Spirit Island and what all we got wrong in our review. Our comprehensive review.
How dare you.
And stay tuned for next week.